That's Ozempic.
Ew.
I'm bleeding and my head hurts. Whew, so
Adderall.
much music. I just can't even think straight. Am I
Oh my
right?
God.
We Hotline
Hotline
TNT
TNT
hereby
hereby
request. Jesus
requests Josh
Christ, guys.
Ovalle for collaboration with the Internet is Dead podcast. Please, Josh, be a guest on the podcast. We miss you.
What?
I hope he listens to this episode.
What?
Hey, if you're watching this episode, hi.
If you're
Did my
watching this
makeup.
episode, like, I'm so sorry that I was so weird at the show. I was just so nervous because of you. Your mic sounds like super crisp and like good quality.
This
Crisp.
is my streaming mic. Let's see here.
Oh,
Oh, you're a streamer?
I am.
I didn't know
Room's a mess.
that.
Broke my arm. Haven't been able to thing or
Oh.
do my
Oh my
Wait,
God,
so
you
what do
broke
you
your arm.
stream
Oh.
also? Sorry. You like need to know
Yeah, give me
that.
one second, actually. My microwave just went off. I'll be right back. I think
Okay.
somebody else is coming too.
I was looking on Depop for a vintage CS:GO shirt. I was
Oh my
like, "Oh,
God.
how funny would it be if I like started wearing like this like vintage like dead stock CS:GO shirt?" I feel like that'd be great.
I don't think it'd be funny
Right?
to anyone but you. Someone
Well,
else
what
insinuating.
I wanted to know about your streaming stuff. I was
Yeah.
saying while you like walked away that like I've been looking on Depop for a vintage CS:GO shirt.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's Counter-Strike, right? Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm
I love how the
way
other
more of a
person is just
casual.
Zoom user.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Sorry, you're more of a casual guy.
I like really silly games.
Who's Zoom user? Is there supposed to be three people?
don't know. Zoom users freaking me out. I heard something
someone's
for a
just
second.
Well,
Guys,
yeah.
it's me. I don't know how to do this. We're like a kind of a Google Meet band.
Oh. Awesome.
But
So you like there's like a video button and you like click
bottom left.
that.
Bottom left.
Bottom left, dude.
What? All right, he's up probably on his phone. I don't know.
I am on my phone. Hold
I
on.
see.
Oh, I
There's a
see you.
way.
Oh,
Yeah.
That's
Are
what
you?
started this. They said my mic sounded very crisp. They did say that
Yeah,
before you
yeah.
got here.
No, you
What
guys are
about?
all sounding great.
Okay, I was about to say if I'm not sounding crisp, I'll leave.
No need.
Cool.
You sound crisp. Everyone Well,
sounds crisp.
I think William's sounding the most crisp. Zoom user is like probably the
Ooh.
worst. Oh man. So you were be so Lucky was being sarcastic, is what
No,
you're
I
saying.
know. I thought you sounded great.
Well, I mean, it's just by comparison. It's like nothing like about your character or anything.
Everything's
Okay.
relative.
But you
Yeah.
guys sound
Cool.
fried, just so you know.
Yeah, people say
Yeah, we get
that
that.
about
That's
us.
our top
Like,
comment.
you know how they say that about the Red Scare girls?
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind
I
of our
like being able
goal.
to hear them. I used to like when you could hear the wine, the ice in the wine glass back in the day on the Red Scare stuff.
I've never listened to them in my
Yeah.
life, to be honest.
I haven't listened to that in quite a long time. Thank
Brittany's
God.
just getting into it. I'm loving her. I'm loving
Yeah.
Dasha recently, but you know you have a Blue Velvet poster. Like I can see that. You know I can see.
I got a lot of posters.
Okay, sorry. I'll be
Don't
nice.
start showing the posters, man. Come on.
That is what you are not gonna want
I just
to
want you to know I'm multifaceted. I didn't just buy that.
Okay,
Yeah.
that's good to know. Are you sad about David's passing?
Not really. He's old.
Not as
Yeah.
sad as some people.
Yeah,
Yeah,
some
some
people are
people
really
are.
torn up about
Yeah. He was just really old. Like
it.
I like him a lot, but it's like what do we expect to happen to people that old?
Yeah, and
Yeah.
he smoked his whole life. Like, come on, what did you
Yeah, and I
expect?
hate smoking.
Yeah.
Well,
So he probably deserved to die like Mac Miller. Oh my
pretty
God.
much.
Yeah.
I watched my first ever David Lynch film after he died.
Which film?
Inland Empire.
Oh
Oh,
yeah. A lot of my
yeah.
friends were also just watching that recently. I think it's a thing right now. Anyways,
Thanks for
thank you
joining,
guys for
guys.
joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Y'all ever seen this?
Never seen that. What
No.
is
Okay.
that?
It's what I'm using to prop my phone up.
Is that,
Oh,
did I
okay.
give?
So do you guys have anything like working in Brandy Melville when you were 20 years old? Because like that's what Horst and Verve Love told us yesterday, and that was like really good. Do you have anything like that?
Wait, what did they say?
Dimitri was like, "Oh yeah, I used to work in Brandy Melville in the basement with all these punk boys when I was 20, and these girls would come down and yell at us every like few hours.
And he would like steal Brandy Melville for the girls that he was dating.
Yeah, and like the blind spot of the camera. Yeah.
I think being like sequestered in the basement of like a Brandy Melville is like a pretty like, that sounds like a fantasy of mine I didn't realize until now.
Yeah.
I have something that's like kind of the exact opposite. My very first job was, I worked at a Hot Topic.
Oh, that sounds good, yeah.
And I was going through kind of like a preppy boy phase, like when everybody was wearing like polo and like, you know, the short shorts and all of that. In my high school, I was dressing like that, but I worked at Hot Topic. My supervisors were like, you don't look like you work here. But people would be like, hey, can I grab like the some earrings for you out from the glass? And they'd be like, you work here?
Yeah, do you feel like they like felt like they had something over you because you looked like that and they could like easily intimidate you or something?
Yeah.
Are we doing like job stories or like what exactly are you looking for? Because I have
anything that
I was just curious if you had anything that you thought could top the Brandy Melville thing just before we get into like, you know, like us actually being serious.
Right. I mean, I just was curious, like, what about the Brandy and Melville story? Like, what, because I can top it in many different ways. I just want to know which category.
Oh, okay.
I think, like, the good fact to know that you can top Brandy it in Melville, a lot of ways.
Yeah, it was like the Brandy Melville, and like, it really seeming like Dimitri did not seem like a guy who's worked in Brandy Melville.
It was
before.
Also like the last thing we expected to come out of his mouth when he said it, and that he just said Brandy Melville, and we were like, that is the best thing you could have ever said.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Can you like catch us off guard in any way or anything?
Definitely. I'm just feeling like we're talking about jobs. I'm going to talk about a gig I had once really quick. That I don't know if I told you guys about. I once had a job, a gig, with the Wisconsin Marine Corps, the military branch.
Did I've say heard about of this? Them.
Okay. Well, there was a gig that had advertising on Craigslist, which I signed up for. It was like $200 a day, and we were like role playing a nuclear attack, and I was like a victim in a nuclear attack.
Oh my god!
And they like gave us like gore, like makeup, and I was like walked around.
Yeah, you did tell me about this actually. Yeah. All
right. So,
what kind of stuff did you have to do like to role play that?
They like made us like pretend we were like. Didn't know where we were, like, yeah, had makeup on, like a CD sticking out of your neck or something like that.
Oh my god.
A little crazier than Brandy Melville, I would say.
I think
I guess you topped him.
My craziest job story was when I worked at Michael's, and my like the general manager of the store roped me into this like weird like identity theft scam where he would always call my cell phone and I would be like out hanging out with my friends, and I was just like pick up and be like, yeah, man, like, I'll do it tomorrow, because I didn't want him to cut my hours. And he tried to pin it all on me and say that I was the mastermind behind the whole thing.
Oh my God.
He told somebody else that he was going to kill me when he got out of jail.
Tell us we topped Dimitri.
Come on. Yeah, you did a great job. Sure. Thank you, guys.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Who is that?
Horse Jumper.
Horse Jumper.
Oh,
guy.
Horse Jumper. I thought you meant Dimitri Martin.
Both.
Yeah.
Anyways, so... How about starting in music?
What do you want to know?
Oh, wait. You guys are going to, like, run that, right?
Do you want me to cut it out?
Yeah, that. Please cut that.
Why did you even tell
can
the
I,
story,
Can I, like, even, like, little
I thought,
details
I thought we were
it?
Just telling stories.
No.
We cannot run that. That is
we're
not
running
good.
That. No, I won't
that,
run it.
I think it's actually really bad if people realize that I, like,
Dude,
may have served a hand in.
That you have limitations, man. I think it's fine.
Yeah, but you didn't
I
do
honestly
it.
Think it's
do
fine.
It.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like, you listen to Red Scare, you know what it's like on the internet. Yeah, these days, anything flies.
Some
oh,
stuff.
18, like, didn't mean to.
I didn't know.
I don't know, I'm just, like, a forgiving person. Anyways.
That's why you love Red Scare.
Yeah.
It all connects.
Yeah, we're already cooked. All right, what else
it's
you
over.
Anyways, so.
So, music.
I know. Samira, can you do it? I, like.
do you guys just want to start by talking a little bit about, just kind of like your background, how you guys like all met, just like the basic stuff of like, yeah.
Yeah, I know you guys have talked a bit about it in other interviews. I'm curious just like specifically how your life feels different now versus then and just like perspective you gained. And
I started the project in Minneapolis and I was doing that for a few years and then moved out here in 2020 And yeah, this I'm fast forwarding through a bunch of stuff, but there was kind of a rotating cast for a while. Mm-hmm. Met Halen because somebody dropped out last second. He jumped on a tour.
That's me, by the way.
I'll let you take it from there.
Wait, but you did start like just your individual career started in like Vancouver or Seattle.
Or not? Yeah, you could say that, I guess. I mean, yeah, that was like where Weed was kind of my first big main band. I was in Vancouver.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so it was 2023, like towards the end of 2023, November. And the drummer, Mike, how long had Mike been in the band at this point?
About a year.
Yes. So yeah. Mike was rounding up to about a year. And Lucky and I used to play in bands. I used to live in Atlanta. Lucky currently lives in Atlanta. We used to play in like hardcore bands since, you know, 2014, 15. And the last band that we played in broke up at the beginning of 2020. So I was kind of like not really playing music at all. And then I moved to New York from Atlanta. And the bands that Lucky and I played in used to tour with Mike's old hardcore band. So we knew each other through that. And Mike joined Hotline. Mm. Their bass player at the time dropped out, I guess, pretty last minute. And Mike was like, hey, man, like, you want to, I know it's super last minute, but do you want to fill in on this tour and play bass? And I was just like, I was going to say no because it was so last minute, but I don't know, something about it.
Happened to be with a band that you were a big fan of.
Oh, yeah. A big selling point was that it was some of the dates were with that band Quicksand, who I love. Mm. And I just said, fuck it. I was like, you know, I hadn't toured since 2019. So I was like, I thought I was done touring forever. But I was like, let's just do this one tour and see how it goes. And I think maybe like five shows in, we all just like meshed super well. And Will was just like, all right, do you want to just be in the band? So, yeah.
And that's kind of a theme of the band overall, too, is like, all right, let's just do this one tour. And then 5 years later, we're still playing.
Yeah.
Kind of keeps going. It's like an unstoppable force and an immovable object at the same time.
So do you feel like it did feel very like, because I know you've talked about just like playing DIY stuff in other interviews. I don't know if you were specifically talking Hotline or like Will, your individual like projects, but like,
yeah, it's all no goals other than just like, yeah, creating stuff, making my own music, putting out my own records, booking my own shows and tours. That was always how it started, and
yeah,
snowballed from there pretty much.
And then you guys signed to like a bigger label and stuff. I'm curious to know like what that transition was like. I know you've talked about this before too, but just like, yeah, like what it was like going from DIY to being like more professional, I guess, if that's even like the right word for it. But just what that transition looked like. And also like specifically, because I know this is something that Brittany and I have talked about a lot, just in the way that we feel like as we're like getting older and stuff, like kind of like losing like that sense of community that we had with like DIY spaces specifically. And I'm curious if like you guys have like felt that way as you've like transitioned more so out of DIY spaces, and like kind of just like how you find community, if it's still through DIY or if like there's other ways as you like just are entering like a different phase of your life.
I think all of us, I mean, the band like borderline still kind of operates DIY, with the exception of like, I feel like with the label and stuff, the only thing that really feels different than like a smaller label that any of us have maybe worked with in the past is that there's just like more hands involved. But I mean, like when we come home from tour, it's like still like Will's putting out records for other smaller bands, or I mean, like we're all like local gigs like constantly. That's like kind of, I mean, I think once you're really just like entrenched in music, you're always kind of a part of that in some sort of way, unless you like become like the fucking Red Hot Chili Peppers.
yeah
but I think it is true. I think it's also not just scaling up as a band or like a entity or whatever, but like the way the world is kind of the music industry, whatever you want to call it, or the DIY scene is just people are kind of like, I don't know. It could also be part of living in New York City for me. It's like, I find way more when I was living in Vancouver, I felt like a stronger sense of community than I do in New York. But it's probably a product of a lot of different things. Like, yeah, getting older, just kind of like keeping to myself a bit more. Definitely still involved, like you said, but you know, not to say that I didn't make a good career out of alienating people back in the day too, but yeah, I'm still doing that.
I get a good sense of community in New York. I go to shows as much as I can. It is a little bit harder, but I also think that just comes with getting a little bit older too, like versus, you know, going to shows however many years ago when I lived in Atlanta. Like, I feel like the whole like thing then was like Lucky and I would probably like hang out or get food before the show and then like meet up with a bunch of friends, hang out, then go to the show and then hang out after the show. Whereas now it's like, I get on the train, I go to the show, I, you know, say hi to five or six people and then I go home. It's like a little different in that way, but
I do think like the location has like kind of an effect on it. Cause I mean, like I was having breakfast with a friend the other day from out of town. And afterwards we were like walking around and it's like, we saw four people that we knew from the at the restaurant. And then we walked to a coffee shop and we saw a couple other people that we knew, all from like either somebody that worked at a venue or like another musician or like, and he commented, he was like, God, man, like Atlanta's like an actual scene. Like everybody just like fucking knows everybody here. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. There's not like millions and millions of people. And then like in New York, a quarter of those people are all trying to do the same thing you're doing.
Yeah. And it's weird. I think it's, go ahead. I was going to say it can vary from genre to genre too. Like I feel like the hardcore and punk community in New York is pretty tight knit, which I'm more adjacent to than like directly entrenched in. You know, I like going to those shows, but I never played really in bands like that. And when it comes to like what we're doing, indie rock or shoegaze, there's just like, if somebody asks me like, hey, who should we play a show with in New York? I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I don't even know like who the other bands are that sound like us in New York. I'm sure they are out there, but like, yeah, we don't like hang out with them really. But
I don't know. Yeah. It's like oversaturated. Whereas like here, like even between like the different scenes, like I'm not saying there's like a ton of overlap, but like, everybody knows everybody for the most part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's something that I really like love about Atlanta. Like it is like not as easy, I feel like, to get ahead as it is in like maybe New York or something, but like, I don't feel so like estranged from the rest of like the thing that I do.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like we can relate to that a lot. Cause we live in Philly and the scene, I think in Atlanta and Philly are like very similar.
Yeah.
But also, like, how old are all of you guys exactly?
I'm 33.
Okay.
I'm 33 also.
I'm 35.
Ooh, sorry.
Yeah, no, get the white salt and pepper.
No, but I feel like, yeah, as Samira mentioned, I feel like I've been thinking a lot about just, like, that community and what that looks like when you get older. So I do find it interesting just, like, in music realms as well. Like, if that just like continues as you're older and it just kind of moves on and you're just like in this older scene, it kind of like stays that way with like those same people, which is interesting. And like, I think just the concept of finding community, because it's such a driving force for so many people, like even that feeling of just going in to a coffee shop and then a restaurant and then seeing a bunch of people, you know, I think is like such a comforting thing. So it's interesting because it's, I don't know, I've thought a lot about how you find that, especially if you don't stay in the same place, like especially with traveling too.
I feel like not to go too off topic, but I feel like we get that in just our neighborhood, like outside of the music scene. Like we live in Ridgewood, Queens, and like it's a community, you know. We go out and we like see the same people at the coffee shop every day, or we see the same people at the bagel spot, the restaurants, you know. So I don't know. I kind of like lean more into that these days, where I'm like look more forward to like seeing my coffee shop homies than like going to the show and like seeing my friends at the show. But
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say too, like with what you guys were talking about with location being a big part of it and just like living in different cities and stuff. I was curious because I know you mentioned like Atlanta and then also New York is where you guys are, but like just throughout your like lives, if there's like any cities that you've like spent time in or traveled to that you've just like felt a connection to in a way, or like just a city that is very special to you in any way.
Nashville.
Too many to count.
Nashville for me. I don't know. There's so many places like that.
Yeah.
I think like Richmond, Virginia, is a big one for me. Or I mean, yeah, New York City, LA, like South Florida. There's like so many, and it's not really so much the places, but like the people that I met there. I feel like all of my closest friends, like there's not all of them, but a lot of my closest friends like live, you know, all the way across the country or something. Like I feel very connected to a lot of places, which I think makes it like touring easier for me than like maybe somebody that doesn't feel like any connection.
Yeah, and I feel like every time we tour like to the Midwest, like these guys that hear me every day like, God, I want to move back so bad, like I miss, you know, my whole family is in like Wisconsin and Minnesota, so I have pretty strong connection there. I lived in Vancouver for 10 years, so I miss the Pacific Northwest. And yeah, it's like what Lucky said, like pretty much everywhere we tour, we can find some like-minded people that kind of be like, oh, I could see myself here. Like Nashville's on the list too for me, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
No, it feels like there's little pockets in each place where you can just find people who are like open to that sort of connection that's being described, which I think is very comforting to know, especially as getting older and traveling and just knowing that like it'll be somewhere.
Yeah. Definitely, like I think I can speak for everyone when I say that we're still addicted to the lifestyle a little bit, even as we've gotten older, and you know, we're all pretty much in like steady relationships and love being home and stuff like that, but I don't know. I still like feeling like I'm at summer camp with the guys every night and meeting new people, and it's still great and stuff, but it hasn't gone away for me.
I also want to ask about your guys' genre in general, because I've seen a lot of talk online about you guys being like shoegaze or not. And I think Samira saw a like really funny Reddit thread about it, but I was curious just about like shoegaze evolving into a specific brand and like where you've taken it and just your influence on DIY music in general, because there are Philly bands who play just like Hotline TNT genre. And I was just curious what you think about that, or like just how you feel about the shoegaze genre changing over time and your influence on it at all.
All I can say really is that like this band is basically still, we're just finishing our breakfast and we're about to take shoegaze into like an entirely new, like, universe and galaxy. So if you think that we've like changed the genre, like you haven't seen anything yet, just wait to see what happens this year. You're about to like experience a very terrifying chapter in the new American shoegaze movement.
how would you describe that? Like, what do you think you're going to be doing differently than you have so far?
Basically, like, you know, turning it on its head, inside out, up is left, like just whatever you like. Whatever people say we are, that's what we're not, pretty much. That's kind of how I feel.
Kind of like the David Lynch of music or something.
True. Nice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That should be your guys' new like tagline.
I agree.
But yeah, there's Philly bands. They do the same thing as you. Jet Fuel Soda. Check them out. They're great. God.
Hey, I think I've heard that name before. I think
really
there was like a little playlist that like, because our booking agent would send us stuff. It was like, this is like the exact riff that you guys like.
Yeah.
What would you say to them if you could?
Everybody copies everybody, though. You know.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
It all comes from something.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would we say to them, Anya?
Jet Fuel Soda.
What is it?
Sorry? Jet Fuel Soda.
Jet Fuel Soda. What is that?
Where have you been, dude?
Where were you?
I'm checking in for my flight.
You're on ChatGPT.
He's watching Blue Velvet. He's watching like another browser.
What is Jet Fuel Soda? What is that?
So they're basically like Hotline TNT, but they're in Philly.
They're Philly.
And they're
ripping
like,
us off. They're copycats.
And they're like 18. Not actually. Oh,
they're
not.
Well, they're like 21, 22.
They're our age.
Everything's
they're giving great. You a run for your money.
They gotta, yeah. I mean, you know, if it's working for us, I hope it works for them.
That was sweet.
Brotherly love.
I want to hear it.
Yeah, you want me to play it?
Can you?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if it'll work.
It might not. I can send it in the chat. And I just want them to know that if they're listening, like, don't be mad at us because we're, like, actually doing them the biggest favor right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to send a band as well that's also kind of going for Hotline Style.
But anyways, about shoegaze.
Yeah.
Of like debating like what shoegaze is and what it's not, which I also think is interesting because I saw, or I've just like with like TikTok and stuff, I think it also has brought obviously like a whole new like world to it where like a lot of bands have gotten a resurgence because like their songs are used in an edit or in something, which is also interesting. But yeah, I feel like that also kind of sparks that debate or plays into it. But yeah, I think it was,
what's in the Reddit thread? Tell us your favorite parts.
I think it was just people being like, oh, is Hotline TNT shoegaze?
And then people being like, no. And then people being like, yes. And then people being like, I miss weed. And then people being like, I like Hotline TNT more. And that's kind of the internet today, if you think about it.
Let's see. Let's check the monthly listeners. Who's got more? I don't have Spotify, but it's our monthly at right now.
What's your monthly at?
You don't want to know.
Okay.
You want me to tell you? Well, Jeff Feel Soda's at 1,000, if you're wondering.
Nice.
Okay, Weed's at 17K.
You're at 35K.
Okay, congrats. So we've got, you know, 35. Yeah. It's an extra 15K fans that can't be wrong, you know?
True.
So weed is dead. Let it go, guys.
But in terms of like what Samira just mentioned about like TikTok changing things and social media in general, I know that you guys have been kind of vocal online about like social media and streaming a bit, because there was something I read where you were just like, oh, streaming's fucked and cancel your Spotify subscriptions. And I'm curious if you feel like there's a good solution in mind, because I know that's a big question, but I'm just wondering like what you think would help.
I don't know, it's tough. I lucky about the system.
No, I mean, I don't know that there is like a solution. There's no way that you could convince millions and millions and millions of people to like stop using the most convenient thing they've ever had for listening to music. It's like there's no really like turning it around.
I do sense a bit of a tide turning. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm optimistic, but
I mean, I like to think that not so much that there's like a solution, but there will be like supplemental things. Like I think it really starts with like moving away from like Live Nation and Ticketmaster and stuff like that, and like making small venues, like stabilizing small venues, making like that level of touring more like efficient like financially for everybody involved. And I mean, just people buying like more physical media, like that's like, if we could move away from the Ticketmaster like model entirely, I feel like we wouldn't really have like that big of an issue with streaming, because there would just be more revenue
I also think personally that if the indie labels got together and said, hey, we're pulling our music off of Spotify, like, I'm sure to Spotify they would shrug it off and be like, okay, we don't give a fuck. But like, I do in my heart of hearts think there's enough music fans that would follow a big exodus somewhere else. Like a more fair model of, because Apple Music and Spotify, it's just the most convenient way to listen to music. And I don't think you can expect people to give that up. They're just not going to. But I mean, my label doesn't offer streaming services. Hotline was off streaming services for a long time, and people would, pretty much every YouTube video would have a comment like, please put this on Spotify. And my response would be like, hey guys, I know this is not convenient for you. Period. That's just it. Like, I don't have anything else. Yeah. That's too bad. Like, you don't have to listen to it if you don't want. But like,
yeah, I mean, that's just like, it's funny because at the same time, though, it's like literally the best thing to ever happen for independent musicians. Like, there's it's never been easier to like get your music out in front of a bunch of people. I even think like the TikTok thing, like all these bands. I mean, I've seen it happen for so many of my own friends' bands where they have this like resurgence because of like their song getting like popping on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden their bands can come back. They can make a fuck ton of money doing what they want to do. And like, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Your friends in Philly, Super Heaven, they were gone. And then they have a TikTok famous song and now they're fully back.
Well, career musicians,
yeah. Basement, Duster, Title Fight had like a huge, like, not even resurgence, because it's not like people stopped caring about that band, but like,
but like exponential growth.
Yeah, I mean, or even like in Atlanta, like I feel like Sword 2 really had like a huge push because of TikTok, like starting out.
Mm-hmm.
That was fucking like massive for that band. I think that's really sick.
Yeah, I think the internet's awesome. I love checking stuff out online, and like I think TikTok's awesome, and I think listening to music online is awesome. It's just like, but there has to be a better model and a better system that we can create.
The internet is awesome. It's just also at the same time the most evil thing in the universe.
Yeah,
it's
like, yeah.
And we're seeing that. We're seeing that play out in so many different facets of life and society. Yeah. But
yeah. I do feel like there is, and I also could just be optimistic, but it does feel like there's a turning over, or at least like with everyone becoming more and more aware of stuff, like with, and I forget who we were talking to before, but they were talking about Spotify and how like it's so convenient, but it isn't sustainable for like a long period of time because of like how convenient it is. And I think, yeah, just like with like Ticketmaster and people kind of like turning on that and everything.
Quick shout out to my girl Liz Pelly, who wrote this book about Spotify. It came out like a week ago.
Whoa,
everyone should
awesome.
Read it. It's really good.
That's a really cool cover.
Also. It's making me want to take everything off Spotify like immediately.
That's so interesting. That's cool. Wow. I'll give it a read.
Sorry, yeah. Didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah. Oh, you're done.
Yeah, I mean, I think also just in terms, because I've been listening, I think that we're at a point where we're reflecting on social media more because like enough time has passed since it's starting, and just like all platforms, including Spotify, including like music streaming and stuff like that. And I feel like a lot of like professionals who I listen to talk about it often are like, yeah, honestly, the issue is just with the person who creates it. And if like this can be taken to almost just like an evil extent, then like it needs to be built by like someone else, and we need to just like completely restructure the platforms. But that's the thing, is like it's so hard to get people off, like you said, and so hard to just like when a mass amount of people are on this, to like just change their minds. I mean, even with like, I don't know, when people were talking about Blue Sky instead of Twitter, I thought that was interesting, because I'm like, okay, this is like a very good representation of where we're at, I think, because if you can't get people off Twitter to Blue Sky, then like, what can you do? Like trying to like understand what actually would be a good solution.
I mean, it's all. Go ahead.
I think we also just can like let time do its thing, where it's, I mean, like people never thought malls were going to be empty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's everything has its like time in the sun, and then its decline, whether it's like slow or.
I definitely don't think Spotify is going to rule the world forever. Like,
no, I mean, it's just like Netflix is just like, isn't Netflix like technically like in like a fuck ton of debt? Like that model just like doesn't work. The streaming model is just like financially, like,
I mean, yeah, look at Vinyl. Broken. I mean, obviously it's not like, it's not fully back, but it was dead. And now it's kind of like plateaued and come back to a significant, you know, there's a pretty healthy, maybe I shouldn't say healthy. There's an ecosystem of record stores across the country that are turning a profit, I assume, of some kind. But, you know, even look at, like, to your comment, Brittany, it's like something like, I think it's when you see technology being like the savior, like, oh, we just need like a new model. It's like, I think it's really disheartening when stuff like Bandcamp happens and it's like, all right, we got something here. This is a model that's working for the independent artists. And then like one day they're just like, you know what? We're going to sell it to Epic Games. And it's like all that work is just like gone. All those people that had jobs are just gone. You know, it's just like,
Yeah,
I don't think technology is going to save us.
I could see like regulation somehow playing a role in that, but also I don't know if we can like regulate that, you know, like that. Yeah, like it's... I feel like that's my only thought of how that would just not happen.
I mean,
I don't know either.
I think if like we as like people that like love music or whatever it is, like need somebody to tell us not to do something, to not do it, then that's like a, it's like a moral issue at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I would hope that it wouldn't take like legal regulations for people to be like, okay, cool, just not going to use Spotify anymore. I guess I'll pay for music again or something.
Well, yeah, it's just like, you know, starting with Napster, it's like we all downloaded shit off Napster all the time because it was like, that's how we could discover any music. That's what we wanted to do.
Right. Yeah. Mm.
I guess it comes with just accepting that nothing is always going to be the way it was when it started and just like knowing that new things are going to come and it'll be okay one day.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. I think
it will.
Not to be like cynical about it, but I also just feel like no matter how it changes, whoever has more money than you is going to figure out a way to exploit you for even more of it no matter what. So it's just like my thought process is like just keep on trucking no matter what. Like it's,
yeah,
that's all you can do.
Yeah, that's what we will do.
Yeah,
I think there's
more to it than like, I don't know.
There's like back and forth about, you know, regulations. We can have stronger unions, which are things that, you know, I feel strongly about, but like at the end of the day, I think the bottom line is what Lucky just said, you know, people are always going to create music and art no matter what's going on, and whether we're dead broke or filthy rich, you know.
What is it? Water off a duck's back or something?
What does that mean?
I don't know. Something.
Gutting a body of water?
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that phrase
my
before.
Good friends. My good,
that's like knowing your ABCs.
Exactly.
Yeah, you heard that? A friend of Tagabell's a friend of mine. Anyways.
I love those guys.
Just to have time to like talk about your most recent release, we're going to shift there. But yeah, I'm curious about what drew you to revisit Trilogy, and how like nostalgia for the work like played a role in the re-release and what was it, the remaster and like extra tracks.
Yeah, we just honestly got sick of all the Redditors begging us to put it back in print.
Wait, but that's so sweet though that there's like fans out there like asking for it.
Yeah, I mean, I personally am sick of those songs. I mean, we've grown so much. Like, these guys weren't in the band when I recorded that stuff. It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun to play some of them. Like, there's a song or two that still get a pretty great reaction, even for like first time listeners. But like, yeah, I mean, I'm ready to move on. It feels like a totally different band to me. But it's cool to have it like in print, and you know, keeps mm-hmm. people engaged and excited to learn the history of the project, where it started, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. What do you feel like it represents to those people who were like begging you to put it on there? And like, what do you think the time like encapsulates as well?
I don't know. It's just, to me, it's just like a little document of like retrospective of like the Minneapolis years, like the origin story a little bit. I think I've seen people online say like, yeah, this is the best stuff I've ever done. I don't like the new stuff as much, but
that's what people say about Alex G too, though. So
yeah.
And his most recent material is probably the best. So
I feel like it is just all nostalgia, because people can say that about anything. Definitely, like
people are just like poisoned by that. They can't like look beyond fucking, I don't know, whatever like record they got attached to when they like got broken up with, or like, I don't know, like people that get so like weirdly hung up on that kind of thing is just like, do you like music, or do you just like thinking about stuff that happened when you like heard the music? It's like, so
I'm the same way, by the way,
annoying to me. I hate
yeah, but maybe that is the reason that most like a lot of people like resonate with anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's what TikTok has exploded what he's talking about to the nth degree. It's just like, okay, dreamy little guitar loop over like this sad text. And like, he's like, oh, dude, yeah.
I just want to, I want to feel new good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, thinking about the old good stuff is like kind of just like depressing. It's like, is there nothing that makes you feel good now that you like?
I mean, I still right play now Super Nintendo games.
Same. Yeah. I'm in the same boat, but yeah, it's like nobody can escape that kind of thing. But it's like, you got to look to new stuff too, which
I like both. I like, I like finding new shit too. And yeah,
it's a balance.
It is a balance. I try not to get too, like, you know, out of control with it, but I feel like I would prefer to listen to like a 90s rom-com soundtrack over like a new like pop album that comes out, you know.
That's how we're trying to bridge the two things
with exactly.
As a final question, I'm curious what's important to you guys right now outside of music, like just in your lives.
My girlfriend, furniture made out of wood. And what else? Pizza.
Cool.
I love pizza.
I love a pizza punk. Yeah.
I don't associate the two. It's completely separate from music.
Yeah, it's kind of like you don't, on that one, we're not bridging the gap. So
Yeah.
I don't know. I think outside of my personal relationships with people, like the most important thing in my life is music. There's not like really anything else that I like think about like at all. That's like, I don't know. I mean, I work at a record store. Most of my friendships are like built around music. I met my girlfriend playing music. We've been together for 7 years. It's like the only thing for me. I don't know. There's not really much else. Video games. Kind of, right? For right now, I like go into like phases. I feel like I'm like on my way out, but music is just,
what about all your posters? Do you care about
I got some pretty good ones. It's all like either like movies or music though, so it's like still I don't know.
No, but I think that's very sweet, because it's like, oh, it's not just music, it like means a lot of things. There's a lot that it is encompassed in that.
Music has afforded me everything I have in my life.
It's true.
Just imagine how much more you'd have if you weren't a musician now.
I know. I would have been afforded a lot more. I'd have way more posters, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's the harder route, but in the end, way less rewarding, you know? So.
It's a true lose-lose, you know?
No, I'm same as those guys. Outside of music, girlfriend number one for sure. Healing a broken arm. I'm a big basketball fan. I was playing basketball and I broke my arm. Trying to be a fitness guy a little bit. I went to the gym right before this, trying to shed some lbs.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know, basic stuff that everybody else likes. I like sports a lot.
Just the simple, are you shaking your head? The simple things. I'm agreeing with you. Your head in agreement.
Cooking. Guys, I'm cool. Starting to cook. Yeah, whatever. You got it.
Do you guys have any resolutions for the new year?
Not a single one.
Have more money. Have more money.
That's a good one.
I want to have more money in 2025 than I had in 2024.
I think I've already done that. So I think I'm just going to go ahead and say that I'm probably not going to have any more money than I have right now.
Really, it's all downhill from here.
Yeah, I think that's it. Like I've already accomplished that. So I'm looking forward to being broke soon.
I have goals for the band. I want that are, honestly, to be completely frank with you, financial. I want everyone's finances in the band to grow this year. I want everyone to feel secure. That's a resolution I have for the band that I think is within sight. You know, we have some new music on the way that I'm really excited about, but I wouldn't really say that's a resolution.
Do you know when that's coming out? Should fans look out for that?
I know when it's coming out, yes.
When's that going to be?
That I can't tell you. Stop recording and I'll tell you.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you guys for chatting today. It was really fun.
Thanks for having us.
We have one last thing. We have all our guests say a thing. It's really annoying, but we started this thing to get this guy on the podcast, and now we can't stop. So we just have all of our guests say this thing. I just sent it in chat.
How do you say
Josh Ovaye?
How do you look at chat?
That I don't know if I can chat. Help you with.
Chat, you click the chat button.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you give us a little info though? Who is this guy?
He's a Vine guy.
Yeah, Vine. Yeah. Vine.
Yes.
He was like Jared 19.
Looked it up really quickly.
Yeah, yo.
Now I'm just feeling like I know how quickly you were looking things up while we were talking.
I know.
No, that's scary. I'll show you what I've been
looking easily.
It's all Facebook Marketplace, email, and like YouTube.
YouTube Reels.
Yeah, I was watching Reels the entire time.
That's awesome.
Wait, this guy, he's like hot now.
Dude, he was hot then.
He
was a little. I think he was like a little young for my taste then. He's got a couple really good skits with Casey Frey.
Yeah, no, he's really funny.
Yes, I have seen this guy.
Our whole thing is like we love him and we became friends because of him. And yeah.
And we want to,
And he changed the YouTube landscape, the comedy landscape. He's a great guy. We believe.
Yeah. He's kind of like what music is for you guys to us.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
All right. Yeah. We'll do our best.
Thank you.
Okay. Do one at a time or what?
If you guys can just be like, I'm Hotline TNT all at the same time and then say it.
And then say it at the same time. All
right. We Hotline TNT.
We Hotline TNT.
Okay.
Yes. You're right.
Will you guys count us down?
Yeah, sure. One, two, three.
We Hotline TNT.
Can we do it faster, guys?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
The countdown was very close.
Sorry.
We Hotline TNT
hereby request Jesus Christ,
Josh Ovaye for collaboration with the Internet is Dead podcast. Please, Josh, be a guest on the podcast. We miss you.
Thank you.
There we go.
Perfect.
Perfect.
All right.
Perfect. Wonderful. Day. Best day ever.